Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with the executive editor of Newsbusters, your host, Tim Graham.
Hello and welcome to your news analysis headquarters, Analyst Alley, we call it sometimes. It's a rough Monday out there for Joe Biden. Saigon on steroids, said ABC. You can tell it's been rough because he's spent several days hiding at Camp David, just like he hid in the basement while he was campaigning for president in 2020. We will get to all the media's sudden toughness on Afghanistan in a bit. First, Rich Noyes, our most valuable player on studies, reports that the illegal immigration influx across the southern border has worsened every month since Biden took office. But the liberal broadcast networks have essentially stopped covering this thing. He has an absolutely amazing number. In the entire month of July, the evening newscasts of ABC, CBS, and NBC devoted how much time to the border crisis? Barely more than 4 minutes. 4 minutes and 20 seconds. You don't even get to Thumbkin. Where is Thumbkin? Ran across the border. Anyway, according to the latest statistics from U.S. Customs and Border Security, encounters along the southern border, you gotta love that, encounters. Just like when you get pulled over by the cop for speeding, it's an encounter. Encounters along the southern border rose to a 21-year high of 212,672 in July. That's up from more than 173,000 in March. It's a 23% increase. And it brings us up to more than a million border encounters in just the first six full months of the Biden administration. For context, that's 490% more than the 175,000 encounters reported during the same 6 months in 2020. So those 6 months were less than the encounters just of July. Rich notes on August 12, when the terrible July border statistics were released, none of the three broadcast evening newscasts bothered to even mention it. But all three found time for really important news like the latest developments on Britney Spears. 'Cause you know that she's toxic. And while the July numbers show more border encounters than any preceding month, evening news coverage has just now virtually disappeared. I mean, 4 minutes and 20 seconds, that's down an astonishing 96% from the Biden-era peak of 113 minutes in March. And almost all of that's NBC Nightly News, 3 minutes, 43 seconds of border coverage on NBC. Meanwhile, ABC managed 37 seconds. CBS didn't touch on the border crisis at all. Nor O'Donnell was too busy with stories like, oh, the Texas Democrats who left Austin to star in the liberal media as they came to Capitol Hill for voting rights. On July 13, Nora O'Donnell lauded the Democrats from Texas for hunkering down 1,500 miles away here in Washington. Nancy Cordes, their White House correspondent, was in awe of President Biden's unusual fervor on that day in July. And she touted how Biden accused Republican leaders of embracing autocracy. Oh, that's rich. Who's embracing autocracy in Afghanistan, Mr. President? You know, I noticed this trend myself back in July when the June border statistics were released. CBS had nothing. But they did find 25 seconds that night to talk about a plot that was upended where two Trump fanatics were plotting to bomb Democratic Party headquarters in Sacramento. Newsworthy. I'm not saying that you can't report on that, but can't you do both? CBS also found 2 minutes to do the latest hot and heavy anti-Trump scoops from The New Yorker and from a new book by two Washington Post reporters. This is just why people would say there's such a thing as fake news. The information may not be inaccurate necessarily, or we may not be able to disprove stories like the Washington Post found some anonymous stories who said crazy things about Trump or about the crazy things Trump did. You can't disprove it. You can't prove it either because all the sources are anonymous. Just trust the Washington Post. They don't have an interest in this, do they? But this is how the news is just like silly putty. It's just incredibly manipulative. We're going to tell you what is news, what's not news. People just don't trust it. If it hurts the Democrats, it's not news. If it hurts Trump, it's the biggest news ever. So now we turn to Afghanistan, or as Obama puts it, Afghanistan, Pakistan. Scott Whitlock reported this morning on the Monday morning shows were a bad neighborhood for Biden today. The shocking fall of Afghanistan is such a failure. Even these morning show liberals were abandoning Biden with all the speed of the retreating Afghan army. Scott put together some snippets of the audio.
Stunning collapse. The Taliban take over with terrifying speed, described as Saigon on steroids. At home, pressure now growing on President Biden and the administration to respond.
Afghanistan falls, a catastrophe for its people and a debacle for the Biden administration. Americans evacuated from the embassy by helicopter, scenes echoing the darkest final days of Vietnam.
The capital now officially under Taliban control this morning. The quick takeover described as, quote, Saigon on steroids.
President Biden is saying you wouldn't see helicopters evacuating the embassy like Saigon, and yet here we are. This is President Biden's Saigon moment.
Many observers compare the scenes to the fall of South Vietnam back in 1975.
This appears to be the Saigon moment in Afghanistan.
It certainly does, George.
White House officials don't rule out the president saying more publicly about the situation in Afghanistan in the coming days, but say there are no current plans for him to do so or for him to return here to the White House.
There's a festival here of President Biden and other administration officials saying none of this would ever happen. On NBC, Savannah Guthrie played one. Biden saying there's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of an embassy from Afghanistan. And Savannah said to Jake Sullivan, this is precisely what we've seen over the last few days. How do you explain getting this so wrong? Sullivan tried to spin, you know, by saying, oh, well, I'm going to focus on, to be fair, the helicopter's been the mode of transport from our embassy to the airport for the last 20 years. And Guthrie kind of said, no, you're not answering the question, which he wasn't. But I think on some level, I want to say, isn't this just a little late for the liberal media? Does anyone remember Biden being pressed about what he was going to do in Afghanistan in the presidential debates? Anybody remember Biden being pressured in soft shoe town halls on CNN or ABC? Even today, Guthrie wasn't half as fierce with Sullivan as she was with Trump last fall. That was positively screechy. Like, you could see her veins bulging out of her neck. She's like spittle coming out of her mouth. So Stephanopoulos, who went soft last fall, is today asking the Bidenites, what do you say to Americans who are wondering what was achieved by two decades of war, thousands of casualties, billions of dollars in investment? Yep, that's a tough question, and it's a hard question to answer. We should point out several weird video clips have emerged from CNN on Monday. Dressed in Muslim garb, CNN's Clarissa Ward managed to say that the Taliban was chanting death to America, but they seem friendly.
Chanting death to America, but they seem friendly at the same time. It's utterly bizarre.
Now, how do you put those sentences or those phrases together? I think CNN's PR spin on this is, well, she was in a position of danger, so she had to say, well, these guys that look like they might strangle me seem friendly. This is the whole problem with networks like CNN just saying, we really want to be in the war zone. We really want to be on the ground in Baghdad. We really want to be on the ground in Kabul. And we're willing to sacrifice being fair, accurate, truthful, honest, because we want the backdrop. We want this video footage for our commercials. When news breaks out, we're there to lie about how the Taliban seem friendly. This is CNN. This is not the first time CNN's done this. And I'm not talking about, you know, Peter Arnett in Iraq talking about, we bomb baby milk factories, baby milk. No, back in 2015, reporter Elizabeth Palmer was saying at Friday prayers, there was the usual chant of death to America, but more out of habit than conviction. I mean, now, can you imagine us applying this to CNN? Newsbusters said death to Brian Stelter, but they didn't really mean it. We would never say such a thing. But I mean, why is it that these people want to somehow downplay the phrase death to America like it's, oh, it's just something like make America great again that you put on a hat? In CBS, in 2018, Farrakhan went to Iran, and he led chants of death to America and death to Israel. CBS covered Farrakhan, did not cover the chants. Isn't that surprising? Not really. All right, back to crazy CNN statements today. Curtis Houck tweeted, Nick Peyton Walsh tried to claim the Taliban were essentially doing crowd control for the benefit of the United States? What?
We have heard some airplanes above us here. I've seen flares from must have been helicopters trying to protect them. I've seen what looks like tracer fire headed in their direction. So it's clearly volatile. That's inside the airport. We tried to head up to it ourselves, and it was startling. At the gate were the Taliban, and they were essentially doing crowd control for the benefit of the United States, keeping back many of the Afghans trying to swarm that particular airport. There'll be some who say, well, they were trying to prevent people leaving who they might consider to have been US allies. But clearly on the ground, they were doing things that were very beneficial to the US, using, in fact, vehicles that had been given by the United States to Afghan security forces the Taliban had now taken. I saw people trying to climb 10, 20-foot walls, rushing gates, startling scenes, the occasional crackle of gunfire as they tried to keep people back. But a very volatile situation.
Yeah, he's basically saying the Taliban, when they took over and scared everybody, they're maintaining calm in the streets because nobody wants to die. It's just weirdness. This is, of course, not new for CNN. I went back digging through the Afghan war stuff from 2001. You dig back in our notable quotables archive from the time, you find some wacky stuff. CNN had a reporter named Kamal Haider. Same thing, same tone as we heard today. Haider said, it would be unfair to say that the Taliban did not succeed in certain things, the law and order, for example. Even today, as Kandahar is bombed and there is no electricity and streets remain open and vacant, the Taliban still keep a semblance of law and order. I mean, what is that? Why are you trying to take somebody who's a tyrant and a dictator and trying to make it sound like they did something special? This is the same CNN that freaks out when Donald Trump says something nice about Kim Jong-un or Putin. Here's CNN just routinely saying the Taliban seems friendly and they maintain calm and law and order. Why doesn't somebody freak out about that? Now, we can look back at all of this. When I was looking back at 2001, when the war began, and I think the bombing began in October 7, 2001, a few weeks after 9/11, 3 weeks in, they were already saying quagmire. New York Times correspondent R.W. Apple, also known as Johnny Apple, wrote in the October 30th New York Times, could Afghanistan become another Vietnam? Is the United States facing another stalemate on the other side of the world? Premature the questions may be, 3 weeks after the fighting began. Unreasonable they are not, given the scars scoured into the national psyche by defeat in Southeast Asia. For all the differences between the two conflicts, and there are many, echoes of Vietnam are unavoidable. Yep, this is the way it was. Now, you could say, yes, now everybody's talking about how this is Biden's Saigon moment. So, yes, you could say, well, maybe Johnny Apple is going to be, right 20 years later. It was a little early 3 weeks in. I mean, obviously, this is one of those things that the point of going into Afghanistan in 2001 was to try to clear out al-Qaeda, to try to get to Osama bin Laden, because the feeling was that Afghanistan had become a hotbed for, or a training ground for al-Qaeda. That's why they came in. I think everything that came afterwards, you know, the same thing as once you get Saddam Hussein in Iraq, now what are you doing? And so, yes, these things went on for a long, long time. And the news media is just not fit for this whatsoever. I mean, it's easy for politicians like Biden to say we should end forever wars. But the media will offer intense coverage at the beginning of a war. And usually it's not very positive. I think that the liberal spin on this is to say that the networks are all dazzled, you know, by the footage of dropping bombs, and they like to think of it as really positive. Well, sometimes the war coverage is positive when, for example, in the opening weeks of the Iraq War, the American troops just swept right into Baghdad. So this is one of those things where it's a little hard to do bad news while the news is good. But generally, our media are hostile to foreign wars, and especially under Republicans. You know, under Democrats, they'll try to sort of forget they exist. Afghanistan sorts of vanishes. Under Republicans, the wars were long-running scandals. I mean, I think that's where, when I look at the Bush-Cheney years, sort of the dominant story there, the ongoing biggest Bush-Cheney scandal was the war in Iraq. And a lot of scandals under Bush came out of that. Like whether they lied about the weapons of mass destruction, what did Scooter Libby say about Iraq, all of the scandals and the special counsels and this sort of thing came out of the idea that Bush and Cheney should have never gone into Iraq. So the news media are not going to always stay on the ground. Covering wars is expensive. You know, we get upset that our military can't ensure stability or democracy for the long term. Certainly you could argue now, as they did in Vietnam, if it's not going to work, why not get out earlier? But the news media leaves way before the troops do. You know, there was this scary tweet yesterday from the Poynter Institute folks trying to argue CNN is ideally equipped for faraway war coverage. You know, I think that can be disproven most days. Certainly today it can be. Certainly it can be by Peter Arnett lying about Iraq. You know, this is one of those things, and they had to confess this at CNN, that they had a Baghdad bureau, and the main thing is they went into Baghdad, and they had to spout out lies because that's the only way they could gain access to the country. Well, then why gain access to the country? What, just report from London? There's no need to have a backdrop where you can't effectively tell people the truth. Come on, CNN, if your facts first, your headline isn't, or your slogan isn't access first, because that access means nothing if you're standing in front of a fake baby milk factory and lying to people. And this is sort of where you just get upset. I mean, does anybody remember the Tailwind fiasco? Look that one up. Okay, it's the same sort of thing. They want to get up on a high horse about how American military action is terrible, and then they end up, oops, we got it all wrong. And this is where I know people were happy here yesterday and today with Jake Tapper really pressing Tony Blinken, the Secretary of State, about this unfolding fiasco in Afghanistan. But I always come back to this and I say, when does anyone ever get to pompously grill CNN like this. You, sir, are behind a fiasco. It's okay for the media to hold government accountable. That's their job. But they're very, scattershot about it. You know, Biden's gone a long set of months here without really getting tough questions. We'll go back to Caitlin Collins asking, is the filibuster a racist relic? Is that really something that was a tough argument? Or was that just a softball? Softball. I just think someone needs to hold the media accountable. You know, politicians should push back on their failures, which is what many people loved about Trump. You know, this is what people loved about it when George W. Bush said to Dan Rather, how would you like to be judged by you having a fit and leaving the set in Miami during the U.S. Open? It might not seem like an answer, but it's something that basically says, you know, the media are powerful too, and who holds the media accountable? We're not going to be able to get a chance here at Newsbusters to play Jim Acosta to the Brian Stelters, where we get to yell at them and tell them they're wrong, and we don't really care what your answer is, because we're holding you accountable. I mean, I don't really want to do that. If I had a chance to sit down, we put Brian on the podcast, I would try to ask him serious, sober questions. No gotchas. Well, maybe they would feel like gotchas, wouldn't they? Because we have plenty to say about CNN. So we won't expect that the Brian Stelter podcast is coming. Well, we would just simply say to you, if you want to know what we have to say about CNN, I'm sure Brian Stelter occasionally reads what we have to say about CNN. And you should, too. Come to us once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for listening.